Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to our broadcast today. We're so thankful that you have tuned in. And we have a special broadcast for you today as Richfield's Deplorable is with us today, as Brother Al Davis has agreed to come on in, and we're going to kind of join our shows together once again, as we often do, and talk about some things. And I'm thankful, Brother Davis, that you're here today. My voice is just about gone, and so I'm glad you're here. I'll probably rely heavily on you as we talk about some things. But thanks for being with us today.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be with you, and glad I didn't get arrested by the Secret Service yesterday.
tell us a little bit about it.
Well,
real
I guess
quick.
Forgetting everything else, the President of the United States was in Richfield. It's the second time we've had a president visit Richfield. Richfield's
What's so special about Richfield?
It's the rain. I'm convinced. President Bush visited Richfield, and I'm not sure the exact year. I'm thinking about 2005, somewhere around there. Yeah. And it rained all day when he was there. And then, of course, President Trump came out yesterday, and it rained all day when he was there. And it was kind of exciting. I'm still not 100% sure how I got a ticket. God must have wanted me to go there for some reason. There were people that I knew that wanted tickets. And
you wanted infrastructure money. I know what it was. You wanted infrastructure money
build
for
a church.
I guess.
That's right. Yeah. But build a road to our church. That's it. I was able to get in, and it was good. And there was a number of things that he touched on. He talked about infrastructure, and he brought in a number of things. And one of the high points for me was that he restated his belief that that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, yeah. Jerusalem, and that they're moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. He said, since it was passed, because Congress did it back in the 80s, he says, every president since then has promised that they would do that on the campaign trail. As soon as they get elected, they don't do it. He says, I did it. I said, I'm doing it. He said, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And so next month, or well, in just over a month, on the 70th anniversary of the modern state of Israel, they're going to open the new U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. They're going to expand the consulate that's already there.
Yeah.
And some of the functions will stay in Tel Aviv until they can build a bigger facility and dedicate. But they're going to open the symbolically on the Jewish Independence Day. I think that's
awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
God will bless President Trump and our country for doing that.
And we're already seeing it. I mean, I think when you look back, we as Bible believers, you look back, those are important moments as Bible believers, because there are direct promises in the Bible that talks about blessing and cursing in regards to Israel. And of course, you know, even today we were talking before the broadcast about, you know, what's going on over in Gaza right now, where they said 17,000 people are, you know, Palestinians are up trying to cause trouble. They're not moving. They want to take back over their land. They're not giving any inches. And, you know, so, you know, they're burning pictures of Trump and the Israeli flag. And, you know, it's just, to me, I got excited because I thought, man, I think we're close to the Lord's return.
Absolutely.
And, you know, 70th anniversary this year for Israel. And then you've got this going on. And but I'm glad you were able to get over there and see that. Some of us were watching it on YouTube or whatever. They had a live stream going. And so it was exciting just to have him here in Ohio. And talk about Israel, talk about some of the things. I mean, I was astounded. I didn't realize he said they created over 3 million jobs already. And I was telling my kids last night, you know, the difference between government creating 3 million jobs and the private sector creating 3 million jobs is the creation of wealth, of new wealth. Because now you have 3 million private sector jobs that are generating new wealth, new opportunities,
absolutely.
Where, you know, others who would say, well, we need to have a bigger government. But the problem is you take jobs away from the private sector and you take money and wealth away from the American people. And, you know, sometimes it's just as simple as looking at that and see. I mean, you look around and, wow, what's actually going on in our country? There's some really, really good, prosperous things. And you say, well, why? Because of his economic policies? Well, there's principles of truth in there. But I'll tell you, I think you're going to stem it back to him saying Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. I think that's what's going to do.
Now, see, Brother John, it's that's not what it is. It's President Obama's stellar economic plans
sure.
after 8 years and of his administration and a year, just over a year of Trump's administration. Obama's economic plan is finally starting to bear fruit.
Oh, is that what it is?
Finally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
Maybe because that tree's been cut down and another one's planted. That's why.
I think I'm going to go with God blessing.
Well, that's good. Well, good. Thanks again for being with us today. Now, we're going to talk about some things regarding Easter here and things that we usually talk about this time of year, and presents an opportunity to talk about truth. There are a lot of things that are involved in all kinds of churches that aren't necessarily truth. They're customs. And which some may be good, some may not be good, but the standard of measurement that we always use is Christ or Christ's Word, because that is Christ, Jesus. He was the Word, is the Word, and so he became flesh. So that's our standard. And so one thing that always comes up this time of year, Brother Al, is this idea about Good Friday. Today's Good Friday. And so, you know, did Jesus actually die on a Friday? And why would we assume he didn't? Because, you know, well, hey, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There's your 3 days. So I wanted to start with this verse in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, and maybe we could put together a little timeline to help people understand when Jesus, you know, entered into the city of Jerusalem. I mean, there's indicators right there that 6 days before the Passover, he went into Bethany. And then the very next day is when we celebrated Palm Sunday last week.
Right.
That next day, which was we know as the Lord's Day, that Sunday, he enters into Jerusalem, and then you can track it from there. But here's the verse I wanted to look at, because this is the one we really have to me, there's probably several we can look at, but to me, it's the one we have to explain, and it's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, and it says this: "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly." And so obviously we know right there he's talking about the prophet Jonah, the Old Testament. I had one guy come up and argue with me about, well, the Bible never says it's a whale, it's a fish. And I said, well, Matthew 12:40 says it's a whale. So we kind of get a little bit more insight of what that really was.
And they called whales fish back then too.
There you go.
Even though we know it's a mammal, but they called them fishes, great fishes.
So you had 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, I think that's a pretty distinct number and specific number. So we know we're not talking about a parable. We're not talking about just an illustration here. We're talking about something specific. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. And Jesus says, and the Son of Man is going to be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, or the heart of the earth. So let's go through this real quick. And one, just if we do the 3 days and three nights without even doing anything else, we know Jesus died in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that according to scriptures. But even if you did that and you wanted to say, okay, let's just do 3 days and three nights. So let's do Friday day, mm-hmm. Friday night, Saturday day, Saturday night, Sunday day, Sunday night. So now you got a real problem there.
And you got 3 days and only two nights.
Well, there you go. And that's, and so really, if you're going to take that verse and say this is what it is, he doesn't come back till Monday.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's a real problem there. So how do we reconcile? Now, you and I agree that we believe it was Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Wednesday afternoon when he hung on that cross and when he died. And that Mark chapter 15 tells us in Mark chapter 15, let me turn over there real quick, and verse 34 and 35 and through 37, as my fingers aren't working too well here. It says, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he calleth Elias. And then it goes verse 37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. So what is that ninth hour? And I forgot verse 33, when the sixth hour. So how would we understand what the sixth hour and the ninth hour is?
The ninth, let me get this straight, going by 6 a.m. And one thing people don't always realize, you know, we count our days from midnight to midnight.
Yeah.
The Jewish people counted their days from sunset to sunset.
Right.
The Romans, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, count it from sunrise to sunrise. So, okay. And yet you have, then there's the names of days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Sure.
But the hour of the day always, they didn't have clocks back then like we have clocks today. So 6 o'clock in the morning, regardless of what time of the year it was sunrise.
Yeah.
So in the summer, their hours of the day were literally longer because 6 o'clock was always the first when the sun came up. Noon was always when the sun was at its highest point, and 6 p.m. was always sunset. Now, we look at the clock, and the sun doesn't set till 7:30 or something like
right.
that. At this time, and another time of year, it sets at 5:30, and depending on what latitude you're at. When I was stationed in England, sometimes the sun was setting before 5 o'clock, you know, in the in the evening and all. But it always set, the time that it set was always 6 p.m. The time it rose was always 6 a.m. So if you count from 6 a.m. to noon, that would be what? Do my math. I'm a public school graduate. Graduate. The sixth hour of the day would be noon.
Right.
That's 6 hours, 12, 6 to 12. And then 3 more hours, the ninth hour would be 3 p.m.
Yeah.
And yeah, think about it. If you're standing looking at the horizon and looking where the sun is, you can tell when the sun is straight up. That's the sixth hour. You know, if people were watching us on Facebook Live, they could see me pointing straight up. And then over at a right angle would be the horizon.
Yeah.
Halfway between the ninth hour would be 3 p.m. The you know, the sun's going down, it's halfway down.
Right.
And likewise, what would that be? 9 a.m. would be the third hour of the day. It's halfway, and then you could guesstimate, you know, 1 and 2 and 4
right.
and 5.
Right.
That's how they told time back then. And it worked in the local area because you didn't have, you know, communications like we do, phone or radio, television, whatever, internet, with people all over the world. You know, so it was a common thing. This is the time.
Right.
That's how you told time.
Well,
so,
and what's interesting, too, is, you know, the darkness was upon the earth. That's
in the middle of the day.
In the middle of the day. It made it that much more profound of what, you know, I was thinking about this week, too, is, you know, the Bible says, and the light came into the world, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus came in darkness at night, right?
Yeah.
And he went out in darkness.
Well, think about this, too. The light of the world was extinguished for that moment.
Yeah.
And the world did what? It plunged into darkness. And so here's a question for you. Was it an eclipse?
Well, see, I really don't think that I need science to explain what happened, although I think there may be a scientific explanation. I tell our church all the time, too, even some of the miracles that Jesus did, I don't necessarily need science to say, well, this is why this would happen. I'm not saying science can't prove those things.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I looked up some things about that, I remember a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I think there's an eclipse that was recorded somewhere 33, 35 AD, something like that. But again, you know, it was just curiosity looking at it. But again, we don't know.
Well, actually, we do know.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay, help me out.
And it was a miracle. Because see, tonight I think is a full moon. Doesn't Passover start tonight or tomorrow? Because it starts with the full moon.
The 30th, is that today?
Yeah, today's the 30th.
So
this starts today. Passover starts tonight.
Yeah.
The full moon tonight.
Yeah.
It's physically impossible to have a solar eclipse during a full moon.
Okay.
In order for there to be a solar eclipse, God would have had to taken the moon and physically moved it into a new location. You cannot have a solar eclipse during the full moon. So we know it was a miracle. I'm role reversal on here.
I'm letting you
try to get the
scientific
thing, and I'm giving you the faith-based thing
yes.
of the day.
Yeah.
But yes, it was a miracle because, see, lunar eclipses always happen during a full moon, but solar eclipses always happen when it's more the time of the new moon.
Okay.
See, it's the position of the moon in relation to the earth and sun. So it's physically impossible. This was a miracle. And even back in their day, they were astute observers of the sky. They knew when eclipses were coming. They right. could predict them even back then. And that's why they knew it was a miracle.
Yeah. See, I learned something.
There you go.
See that? I'm thankful for that. That's your scientific background coming out. But it reaffirms what I said. It was a miracle.
Yeah, a miracle.
So, all right. So he comes into Jerusalem on Sunday, Palm Sunday. We know, I think in Mark it says the next day is when he goes into the temple. He goes back to Bethany. Actually, it says in Mark that he comes into the temple. And it must be later or something. Nobody's there.
Mm-hmm. He comes and goes several times.
He does, and he goes to Bethany because he often resorted back to Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And then the next day he comes into the temple and cleanses it for the second time.
Yeah. And remember, Bethany's just a short, it's described,
right.
I think, isn't it described as a Sabbath day's walk, which is a very short distance.
Yeah, it's not far.
So,
it was right by the Mount of Olives.
Yeah, it's kind of the other side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's right there. Around the mountain and there you were. So it's just a short, relatively short distance.
Right. And so then we come to Tuesday, and Tuesday would have been the Passover supper. Tuesday would have been the betrayal.
Well, the Last Supper.
The Last Supper, yeah.
And I believe that they actually observed the Passover supper early because it wouldn't have been observed until Wednesday night.
After the sacrifice. Yeah, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, it's just like if you want to have a Christmas celebration with some of your family and, you know, you're married and your wife's family wants to have it here and your own family wants to have it here, and so you have two different Christmas celebrations
right, sure.
on two different days.
Right.
But they're all Christmas celebrations, and you know, people back then, same thing. Jesus knew he was going to die, and he longed to have that Passover meal with them.
Yeah.
So he's going to have it early.
Early, yeah.
Because he's going to die.
Because he's the Lamb.
Yeah.
He has to die, so he's not going to be there.
Our Passover
after.
Lamb.
So you have that night, you have the Last Supper. From there, they go into the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the betrayal and the arrest. And right from there, he's taken to Caiaphas' house. And even Peter denies the Lord three times that night. And that's his denial. And then it says in Matthew 27, verse number 1, it says this, when the morning was come. So now we come to, would be Wednesday morning, right? Wednesday morning.
Correct.
And then now they go to Pontius Pilate, and then Pilate goes to Herod, and they come back, and he presents Jesus and Barabbas, and they say, crucify him, crucify him. And they take him right from that point to Calvary.
Calvary, right.
And then
this is about 9 in the morning now,
right.
The third hour.
Right. And
here's something to point out, and a lot of people don't realize this. Jesus, of course, wasn't the thin, kind of effeminate-looking figure that you see portrayed on crucifixes
right.
oftentimes. My least favorite crucifix that I see, and I don't know why they do it. People who are Catholic know this one that I'm going to talk about. It's that crucifix where the arms of the cross are drooping, and the top of it's drooping, and you got this thin, emaciated-looking, slender figure hanging.
Oh,
it looks like they took
about.
A crucifix and put it in the fire to wilt it a little bit. It's just, why?
Yeah.
You know, this guy, he was a carpenter, and he walked all over the place. He was a man's man. He was probably a fairly burly guy.
Yeah.
Not fat, but muscular, strong.
Do you know when the main painting of Jesus really came out? You know that real
the one everybody says, "Oh, that's Jesus with the long hair
I was understanding
the European features,
16th or 17th century or something. Do you know anything about that?
Well, when these guys were commissioned to paint these portraits, remember they were in Europe and they would get patronage from some wealthy, influential person, whether it be a king or a baron or a duke or whatever, a pope or a cardinal or something. Somebody had to give them some place to live and money to live on, money to get supplies, and they were patrons. That's where you get the term patrons of the arts today.
Yeah.
And so they commissioned them to paint a picture of Christ. So they're going to paint a picture that reflects the people around them.
Yeah.
They're in Europe. So they get these these very European looking pictures, sometimes even with blonde hair and blue eyes. And, you know,
so
Jesus
he was German.
Yeah, must have been there. There's that. You know, that was one thing that was said about him, is that he was actually, Mary was raped by a German soldier that was in,
oh, really?
In the Roman Legion there that
oh,
was in the area.
Gotcha.
But you know, he would have had probably dark curly hair, a deep tan, probably brown eyes. He would have had the Middle Eastern Jewish features common of that day.
Sure, yeah.
Not the thin, you know, nose and the blue hair, the blonde hair and blue eyes, and almost said blue hair and blonde eyes, but in a skinny, thin,
hey, that happens
long,
today. Yeah, people with blue hair today.
And the long, yeah, the long flowing tresses,
yeah,
and the real thin, almost effeminate look,
right?
You know,
well, Brother Al, we only got a few minutes left here on our broadcast, and I hope you'll stay with us because we're going to. We're going to continue on discussing this and maybe some other areas as well. But, you know, so we've taken it here to basically Wednesday afternoon. He dies. Wednesday evening, Joseph comes to take the body and put in the tomb at that point. And that's Mark 15, 43, John 19, 38, 42. So basically you have a crucifixion day of Wednesday instead of Friday. So I would ask you, if I came to you and said, you know, maybe we disagreed. Maybe I said, well, I think it's Friday. And you say, well, it's Wednesday. Why is it important to know and establish the difference between those 2 days?
Well, it's that prophecy that you quoted. Because remember there in Matthew, in Matthew chapter
12.
What was that? Chapter 12.
Yeah, verse 40.
The Pharisees had come to him prior to that. And they said they wanted to see a sign. I was looking that up here again real quick.
Yeah.
They said they wanted to see a sign, and I'm missing my verse here. I'm trying to find it. There we go. And he said there's only one sign that's going to be given to them, and that's the sign of Jonah there.
Yeah.
And so this is a sign. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, he'd be 3 days and three nights in the earth. And so if he wasn't there 3 nights, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, okay, that's 3 days. Friday night, Saturday night, that's 2 nights.
Yeah.
Jesus would have failed in his prophecy. He would have
either
lied or failed to be able to do what he said he was going to do.
So we're talking about truth. That's
exactly.
Really the establishment of truth and the measuring of what we've always been taught and believed, measuring it against the Bible. And,
right.
And obviously we've got to come to the point in our lives where we believe the Bible over what other men teach. In fact, the Apostle John told us that we need no other man to teach us, but the anointing, the Holy Spirit, which we've been given to us. And he will always bear witness of the truth because he's the Spirit of truth. And so, you know, if anything, and the reason we go through this each and every year is we want you to think about it. I came out of United Church of Christ, and Good Friday was Good Friday. That's when Jesus died, and you get saved, and you start reading the Bible, and you're like, he didn't die on a Friday.
Yeah.
You can't mathematically come to that conclusion. So it makes you question why you believe what you believe and what you believe, and start looking for the truth. And that's when God begins to work to open the eyes to receive the love of the truth and get saved.
Which is why he died.
Well, absolutely. And he did. And I believe that, you know, something as simple as just questioning this type of belief can open a pursuit of truth that can lead to salvation of the lost. Well, I hope you'll stick with us here. Brother Al will be back. Actually, I'll be back with him on his show. And we'll be back with you here in just a few moments.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.